Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
For everybody, it's been a dream. We need to keep the dream going. Now everyone is excited. The people on the streets, they're thinking about the same. The club was ready for this. Taken from the Evening Gazette. Well, it's no longer Evening, is it? Just the Gazette. Friday, August the 12th, 2016.
Yeah.
Karanka's words, where we belong. We're not going to spend too much time bemoaning the tragedy of Borough's fate, but we are going to have to spend some time, because the last edition, and this is the companion podcast to issue 576, we thought for a moment, let's do a postscript to the season. Let's hopefully sort of come back where the lap of appreciation will have taken place and Southampton will have been duly dispatched by four or five goals, and suddenly you'll see the magic that will be manifested, which clearly has to go against Liverpool now, if the Newcastle notion, where they beat Spurs 5-1, I think, or 5-0 in the sort of scenario. Let's see if that works too. But it really did not. I mean, did you stick around for the lap of appreciation, Rob?
Well, I did, yes. A lot of people didn't. It was, I guess it was more of a case of the players and the playing staff applauding the fans that way around, really.
Wholesale change hint, a fillip for fans, according to the Sunday Sun, referring to Steve Gibson's interview with BBC Tees, of course, where he promises to smash the division next season. So that's good news.
Yeah.
If again these things are put into practice. And it's nice to see that Patrick Bamford finally is allowed to play.
Yes.
And he's allowed to play from the start, and he actually scores a goal.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought it?
His first ever Premier goal.
Yeah. So and his first one in 2 years.
Yes, so his first goal since he played for Middlesbrough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, from that particular line, the questions that have been asked about Bamford. Also, I'm going to throw another little question into the mix here, which none of the contributors to the current edition of Flamington, I mean, all legends in their own way. Stanis Stan, of course, the wonderful Mike Bartley, I think, is contributed. Plus, of course, we've got Joe Nicholson, probably leaving for Australia, could have been the final nail in the coffin.
No, yeah, it could be, yeah.
That was actually there. Thomas Bartley, of course, has contributed fine stuff there, and Matt Smith with a very heartrending article, which we're going to focus on as well. Constantopoulos.
Yeah, Dimmy. Yeah.
Why was he not given more of an opportunity to sort of go between the sticks, really?
And why did he not play that last game, that last home game against Southampton? Because obviously he's out of contract this summer. I don't know. Yes, it was something that a lot of people asked at the time, and it would have been a nice gesture. Well, it would have been more than a nice gesture, because he had a very big part to play in getting us to the Premier League, not just last season, but the season before as well. We all think, well, he did nothing wrong, did he, really? Virtually, he hardly let any goals in.
Suffice it to say that I would happily take Constantopoulos as a swap deal for Claudio Bravo.
Yeah.
Right now, were I in charge of a certain team in Manchester, but I'm not, but there we are. In terms of that, you think, how unusual. I mean, we know it was probably personal reasons as to why Jordan Rhodes never got a chance.
Yes.
But again, that seemed to be an unusual sort of lack of using things. Gested and Negredo, well, Negredo clearly far more successful. Gested's still waiting for a goal. No, he scored goals.
He scored, yes.
He has scored, but still not very many, shall we say. Of course, the non-player of the season, Gaston Ramirez, who clearly, after January, decided just wasn't worth playing at all, really.
Absolutely.
And those sort of kind of combinations don't really have, although it has to be said, Ben Gibson, I think a very, mature interview and a very sensible interview, and also an interview which suggested he may stick with his uncle for one more season. So, not all doom and gloom, but as we've also said, and again, an interesting line here, Hull, Sunderland, that means the Diocese of Middlesbrough, if we're looking at the Diocese of Middlesbrough, doesn't have a single Premiership side now.
Right.
Take out York as well, of course.
And they're very much taken out at that time now.
And Hartlepool are continuing the staggering downwards to replace York City.
And Darlington didn't make the playoffs because of the ground.
And you're thinking, I can almost understand why, unfortunately, even in the Borough this very morning, I've seen people wearing black and white shirts.
Have you?
It's not good, you see.
No, that is.
The glory hunters have already started, you know, in this very hospital that we record Flowers to them in the podcast.
Oh, no.
I've seen black and white shirted people with Toonami on the back.
Oh.
It's just, you know, it's wrong, to be honest. It's wrong from that point of view.
But it is a terrible time for the whole of the region, isn't it? and compared to our own downfall, York City going into part-time, it's like almost into oblivion. And Hartlepool, all that proud history when they were re-elected time after time, and they've finally gone out of the league, and obviously they won that last game, but it still wasn't good enough to keep them in the league. And then, of course, as we say, Darlington, who switched grounds in the middle of the season, and the ground isn't up to the quality to allow them to play in the playoffs. It's unbelievable. And then, of course, and as you say, that means, when you're saying Hull, that means two of the teams have not made the jump to the Premier League. And you read out that newspaper article, and that was the thing, as the lap of whatever it was at the end of the
year,
that lap of appreciation, the comparison between that and 12 months ago after the Brighton game, the absolute euphoric reception as they were going around the pitch.
As clearly he likes Borough supporters, there's a possibility that Antonio Conte could actually come in charge of them.
that was a fantastic gesture at Chelsea. Something I've never seen before.
It's not a grand, let's face it, Stamford Bridge where there's been a lot of love between Middlesbrough fans.
Absolutely.
And indeed Chelsea
he's
managers.
He's breaking a lot of traditions there, isn't he?
Interesting from that perspective. But again, the Southampton match, Claude Puel looks as though he's going to be looking for work as well.
Well, I find that a little bit unbelievable. After all the players that have exited season after season, this every season, actually, that Southampton are an outside bet to go down because the squad has been so depleted, so mined by other clubs. And this time it looked like they were really struggling. But you got them to one cup final, and they're going to finish in the top half, aren't they? They're going to finish right in the middle of this. I think that's an achievement.
Again, it's a bit like Watford, of course. They like to change their manager on an annual basis. Where did it all go wrong? Chris Bartley writes, on the 7th of May 2016, we see the promotion to the Premiership in one of the Riverside's most glorious days, 7 years of mixed fortunes in the Championship. Now, of course, it's... he talks about gutless trio performance defeats against Palace, Stoke, and obviously Man City in the FA Cup. Because apart from that, City did actually give Borough a nice 4 points, you know, to actually help them out along the way. I mean, if all the top four sides had given them 4 points, you know, they'd be fine. Well, I mean, 2 points.
2 points.
Yes,
yeah.
Sorry, we dropped 4 points.
Overwhelming
the side of things from that point of view. I think it's frustrating. I mean, there were a couple of miles high spots in the season in terms of the way that things go. Congratulations, of course, to Ben Gibson for winning the Fly Me to the Moon Regis Player of the Year. Ultimately, he was in full force from that point of view. We will, of course, be finding out a little bit more in this very programme how maybe all of this had been foretold. Maybe we go back to that edition of the Gazette of August the 12th, 2016, and spookily we find that maybe it was our fate and our stars that was all up against it.
Right.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. 7 simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard.
And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium. Hang on, slow down.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, that's the recipe.
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at Superhero IRL. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Bernie Slavin, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie. If only we had you playing for us this season and scoring some goals.
Yeah, he probably still could have actually been part of that whole thing. However, as we said, certain things we may not have been able to actually adjudicate for. So from page 5 of the Gazette on Friday, August the 12th, 2016, we have a story which I've held back until this moment because I thought, no, it's not going to happen. We'll refute this whole thing. And it's Psychic Sammy with "It's on the cards that Borough won't do well." On the eve of Borough's return to the Premier League, Stockton psychic Sammy Rawlinson did a card reading for the Borough. The medium predicted a season of doom and gloom at the Riverside for everyone. Well, almost everyone. The 30-year-old claimed her tarot card showed midfield ace Adam Clayton's form would see him break into the England squad. But while Clayton may be smiling come May, the rest of the squad supposedly won't, with her cards predicting Borough will be relegated this season. The Gazette filmed her reading, which also explained what would happen to boss Ito Karanka, and addressed how George Friend would cope in the top flight. And the medium and the mystic medium also claimed that Borough will have a successful cup run in one competition. Even revealed if they'd make it to Wembley. Well, no, they didn't. They won't have a very good season, claimed Sammy. Someone will really show themselves up, or the goalkeeper will let some very important goals in. I think next season will be their time to shine. But for this one, it's bad news.
Ugh.
We kept that back. Literally, it's there we are. You can confirm the details until this moment where I thought, no, we'd retreat it, but whatever your thoughts, Psychic Sammy.
Sammy.
Who'd have thought it? So maybe the fate of Borough and Ito Karanka was actually in the stars as well.
Maybe.
To the sixth round of the FA Cup. And, of course, we're just a step away from Wembley. Not sure about Adam Clayton, but I think he did fairly well over the season overall. He didn't quite make the squad. And George Friend, likewise, one of the successors in this era.
He had a lot of injuries, George Friend. Yeah. That was a big problem. Him and Callum Chambers being injured didn't help. And not having Bernie Slavin up front, of course, as well.
Of course.
Did she predict that?
Strangely, no. But it just goes to show, who knows what that... But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So...
Let's hope so.
Exactly. Mike Baker, in the end, it was with a whimper. Can't argue with a limited side that gets relegated while fighting. The Premiership is a tough division awash with millions, so it takes something special to survive it. But to go down carrying a feeling that very few people put everything into it, and most a lot less, well, it's just sad. And Stanistan, of course, the quote from Chuck from Clockwise, of course, it's the hope that will kill you.
Yes.
almost for a few minutes against City, Man City that is. I genuinely believed that the Great Escape was on, but it all suddenly came crashing down on us. The other intriguing thing, we talked about Psychic Sammy, maybe Paddy Dillon actually had it right, that ultimately it was all due to the soft leather red seats that were put in the dugout, as opposed to the ones that had served them well for 21 years.
Could be, yeah.
Other contributing factors include, of course, the notion of the national advertisement boards. And in fact, one line which I thought was astoundingly perceptive, really, for Paddy. They catapulted adverts up the pitch far more quickly than Boris play, with at one point a digital representation of a Petch pie outpacing even Adama Traore.
No, I don't think so.
No.
It might be going in the right direction, though.
Exactly. And, of course, the final nail in the coffin was the moving of the television gantry, which effectively meant that people were discombobulated and upside down for most of the season. Clearly, Paddy does gives short shrift to Gaston Ramirez and effectively argues that he should be let to drift until his contract expires. Good riddance to bad rubbish is his line as far as Gaston's concerned.
He has been very costly to us. If you look at our position going into this year, this calendar year, we were in a fairly strong position and we had a lot of games coming up that I think that Chris Bartley mentioned there that key games that we could have got the points, we could have been fairly safe, but when you look at it now, we're a long, long way adrift, aren't we? A long, long way from below Swansea.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like only yesterday it was a 3-0 victory against Swansea at the at the Riverside, and back in the day, I mean, then we were saying, well, Leicester might be drawn into it, and Palace and so on. I must admit, if you are a Hull City fan, you're probably loving Sunderland to bits, really.
It just totally knocked the stuffing out of them, didn't it? Especially with that manager with his fantastic home record. Exactly. And now, of course, he is. You mentioned Southampton. He's been linked with Southampton, and because he hasn't done himself any harm.
So I'm going to bowl out my ideal dream team to get Borough really for next season. And I'm a little bit reluctant to do this, but...
Is this like Psychic Sammy?
Well, who knows? It's a thought that I think if Steve Gibson is key to actually effectively smash the league next season...
Yeah.
I'm suggesting maybe, and this is a possibility, a joint management team of Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs. Could attract some interesting players in the old Brian Robson tradition. Admittedly, not a great deal of success.
Ways. I'm thinking of their records individually have not stood up to much.
Together, if they work together, could be a possibility. I'm not really.
Did Gary win a game at Valencia? He might have won a game, didn't he?
He might have a Spanish insight as well. You see, they could open up.
He's not very popular there anymore.
It's a thought. Who would you actually like to see? Assuming that we don't, Steve Agnew. The suggestion is that he's much liked by the board, but unfortunately, as a coach, as a manager, rather, he seems to not be. He doesn't have the rub of the green. It's the kindest thing I can actually say.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's had a lot of games. I really like Steve Agnew, and I think he's a very, very perceptive coach. And I think he tries things during matches and. He's not afraid to take risks and things, but it hasn't come off, has it? I think it's probable we'll be looking at a new manager. I don't know who it's going to be. I think we might. I wonder if we'll think outside the box again, as we did with Aitor Karanka, a kid from nowhere. I wonder if it'll be somebody like that again. I think you do need quite. I think the lessons from Burnley and Newcastle are that you do need some continuity. And you were quite right that Newcastle winning that last game against Spurs. It did give them some sort of optimism. I thought it was totally unfounded optimism to base everything on one game in which the other team had lost heart anyway. But it did seem to really spur them on. So I think it will be very important to go to Liverpool and give a decent account of ourselves. And I'm not sure we will do it because Liverpool, the way that Liverpool,
demolished
West Ham yesterday, absolutely. And a West Ham team again who seemed to have decided that the season's finished.
Yeah, they've got out the suntan lotion, they've got the beach and the whole sort of...
Yeah.
They're progressing. Yeah, it is an area where, if Agnew does stay in charge, and I think there'll be a bit of concern, but as you rightly said, even allowing for that, remember Newcastle lost their first two games in the Championship.
Yep.
And still managed to actually turn it round, and pretty much were there, regrettably, for most of the season.
I think Neil Warnock said, didn't he? He said that Brighton had the best team, But Newcastle had the best, the strongest squad.
Warnock, of course, has also been mentioned by various contributors to BBCT's phone-in as a possible Borough manager.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A specialist.
Yes, and as we look ahead to next season, it'll be round before we know it, because, of course, it's a very early start. So we're starting again early August. The fixtures will be out shortly. So things need to move relatively quickly.
They do, don't they, yes.
After the Liverpool result.
I think they do need to get a manager in place very quickly and then look at a policy and try and work with that manager. But obviously, the recruitment, I think the recruitment was good going into the Premier League. I think the majority of us thought we had a really good squad.
Victor Fisher.
Yeah.
Was added.
We had players that played. Absolutely. Players that looked good on paper. Yeah. Daroon. Yeah. But then also players that we knew that we went for Premier options. The only rider to that was that there was too many players for me that weren't given an opportunity. We mentioned Dimi Konstantopoulos. Mm-hmm. I think Albert Adoma, to fall out with Albert Adoma and get rid of him after one game was a massive mistake, because the man's going to score goals and he's going to lay on assists, as he did against Stoke City. Mm-hmm. And there was too many instances of that. And Siwi stayed until January, but he still shouldn't have gone. Mm-hmm. Nugent shouldn't have gone in January. That was ridiculous. A player that's going to... These are all players that are key figures in the dressing room as well, but also players that can affect a game. And we mentioned Jordan Rhodes. Jordan Rhodes, obviously, the manager decided he didn't recruit Jordan Rhodes. It's quite obvious now, and didn't want him. It was the same with Stuart Downing for most of it, that he didn't recruit Stuart Downing. That's the way we have to look at it. So we need a manager and the recruitment working together, that's for certain.
Another Gazette headline I was tempted to actually bring on board as we look back at the season was, of course, the Bottlers or Battlers one, which was really one of Karenka's final parting shots, really, which he accused Downing, amongst others, of being a bottler as opposed to a battler. And I'm not sure what exactly was the meaning of the gesticulation that Stewie actually gave to the crowd, but obviously he was frustrated when he actually left the field on...
when he was booed coming off, and some fans really, really had a go at him. Mm. I think Karanka's got a lot to blame for that as well, hasn't he, really, from making... saying things like that. It was kind of like the worst parts of Jose Mourinho, and we've seen some very bad parts of Jose. The last two or three years, Jose has said a lot of things that he surely should have kept to himself.
Although he has won trophies.
He has.
Which I suppose you could say slightly excuses the whole thing.
Not quite the class of Conte for me.
Or indeed Guardiola, but that's another line entirely. We'll just have to wait and see what happens with respect to that. And Jurgen Klopp continues to battle on through. Matt Smith has a little line in his little box for "you don't know what you've got till it's gone," and this is a very critical part, because the final sort of page of the fanzine, well, the penultimate page 31, well, that's all, folks, for this season, and we'll take out our Fly Me to the Moon abacus and add up our sons and some and see whether we can come back for one more season to make it, of course, 40 years, because you're actually at 1988 to 2008. Surely it'd be 1988 to 2018.
Are we
going all the way back to 30 years? It's got to be 40 years.
A slip of the finger on the last, actually.
I mean, there are people who panic and say, "Oh no, you mean to say that the last 7 years have not existed?"
They're not. No, no. It's like Dallas.
It's all been a dream.
It has.
We can hopefully guarantee Flying to the Moon, the podcast, will continue either way, because that will be around for our listener. Spread the word. It's all there. You can listen to all of them. You can savour the sort of systems. You can even sort of follow through the challenges of Holmes and the Riverside Thriller. No spoilers, but the final instalment is in the final.
It is, indeed.
Of Flying to the Moon for this season, at least, for 576. But it is interesting that not only does Matt Smith actually raise this whole point, but there are various other writers and contributors. We can't let you go, Rob. It's important that things are maintained. Is it a case of you're just waiting now to see what happens with the Borough, to see how things develop, or can we look forward to August time coming through and another bright, sparkling... I mean, we're going to have to put all our Borough in the Premiership jingles to one side now. You know, at least for a season. So that's to go. Hopefully we will not say it's the end for Fly Me to the Moon at present.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Exactly. It's all there. So, I suppose we're back to saying those final few moments. And let's face it, you know, Liverpool can be beaten. You know, they've been beaten at Anfield before.
Yes. No, they can. It's really going to say a lot about
a favour. You know what a favour Arsenal would actually sort of.
If
from that point of view.
Why are we doing Arsenal a favour again? We need to do ourselves a favour. We need to. We do need to sign off in the Premier League. At least giving a good account of ourselves.
Yes, the Southampton game was really not a satisfactory way to actually sort of lap up with the whole thing. So away to Liverpool, very much all to play for. It's a place, of course, that Borough have had reasonable success before. Remember the penalty shootout, epic?
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to get to penalties.
We lost it.
but
it was it was an incredible memory.
Within 90 minutes, the challenge is actually still there, and we will continue with that whole sort of sequence. Thanks certainly to Chris Bartley, to Melvin Small, to Stanistan, to Paddy Dillon. Any other contributors you'd like to thank for Fly Me to the Moon this season? Neil Garrett, obviously, Thomas Bartley, Hartley, flying the flag for Small.
Well, everybody who's contributed, yeah, Paddy's taken over the covers, done a really good job, really funny covers. Specky Get, that
Joe Nicholson.
Always funny. Joe Nicholson.
Mike Kelly.
Stu Mack, who's been going for many years doing his reminiscences, because he's got an incredible memory. He goes back to the 60s and can remember match by match. Alb for doing his bitter donkey watches.
Thomas Lander, perhaps. Goodbye, Cruel League.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's like Burra Buddha, who does the... The Walter Wilton.
Even as, because she's usually sort of been here, although I figured, given that we were doing Psychic Sammy, it wouldn't have been appropriate to have the full-time chaplain, Marie Edwards, in the studio at the same sort of time. But Marie Edwards, who hopefully, 18,000 people have renewed their season.
Yeah, that's really good. That is really good. Obviously, they didn't know which division we were going to be in. Hopefully, we're not going to see a load of them on eBay or people swapping them. No, that is 18,000 early ones, so yeah. It would be really good if we... I think that's an important thing now. If we get a manager in place and we start to get a sort of playing staff assembled for the championship, and we can get a big crowd. That was a big difference between the last two times we went down. When we went down under Gareth Southgate, we did fall away completely. The time before that, if you remember, under Brian Robson, when we managed to keep that momentum going somehow, the Riverside momentum.
Borough do have that record now with Norwich and Palace and Sunderland of most relegations for the Premiership,
yeah.
So we've now equaled four, so... Positive
unwanted record.
Exactly, and let's not talk about fewest goals scored in any of the English League divisions.
No, let's not talk about that. I suppose the positive to the relegations is that if we come back, we'll have the most promotions, won't we, to the Premier League?
Exactly. I noticed that Eric Paylor, bless his heart, actually is arguing for Jason Steele to be brought back to the Borough.
Yeah, that's funny. I mean, he's been pretty successful.
Tony Mowbray is going to really be delightful at that. Depending on whether Tony sort of gets on with the Venkies or not, really. But clearly, it's a whole new Blackburn Rovers experience.
He was, again, we talked about Hartlepool, and of course, Blackburn went down having won, was it 3-1 away from home at Brentford? They had the most difficult task. And a manager that many Borough fans have looked to, have thought about, has been linked with, is still involved in the playoffs, in David Wagner, who was, of course, Klopp's assistant in Germany. And I think that's quite dubious what he did the penultimate match, where he rested the whole team pretty much against Birmingham City, and Birmingham won that game, and without that, Blackburn might have survived.
Exactly. And of course, we've still got the Sheffield Wednesday fan of Tony McDonough.
Oh, who's, still
around. And
0-0 yesterday.
Of course, yes, Fulham and Reading. Three of those sides will be opponents next season.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it then. As I say, for the moment,
yes.
Final few words, final 7 words. Rob, after 3, a 1, a 2, a 3. Oh, actually, before, people want back issues.
Oh, yeah. People get,
yeah. As we know, you're
yes, I've got them all.
Exactly.
Before I throw them in the bin.
Precisely. How can they effectively sort of get the memento of a season? Well, it was Kadeem, I think, who actually coined the term as a season to forget, a season to remember. a memento of interesting times.
Yes, when we were in the top flight.
Exactly.
And hopefully it's not too long coming back. Yes, you can get... I think I've got all the back issues from this season still. And it's if you go to the website, fmttm.com, and click on subscribe, or email me at... robshrug@gmail.com, or the old-fashioned way is write a letter, which is Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP.
Final seven words.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.